Blog Talk Radio.
Preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are forward in their path. You say you won't be and joy. And love all around. Take a look at your environment. Yeah. Who's around you causing all the havoc? Yeah.
Anything wicked going on could hold up your blessing.
Hold up your blessing.
And anything evil will hinder your growth with the Most High.
With the Most High. We can't afford to let it in our minds. Separate yourself from these people.
Move out these people.
Get them out your life. Yeah.
You have a right to keep your joy, you know what I'm saying?
If they don't like to seek and praise the Most High,
they don't want to praise the Father.
We got a problem.
We got a serious problem.
If people don't want to share with you,
people want to be stingy.
When you're down to your last,
dollar, they don't want to help you out.
Separate yourself from these people.
Just leave them.
Sometimes people can be so evil and wicked.
Can be so evil, man.
Remove yourself and find yourself blameless before the
Most
High.
Anything wicked going on could hold up your blessing.
Could hold up your blessing.
And anything evil will hinder your growth with the Most High.
It will hinder your growth with the Father.
Nobody hinder your growth.
Oh, you
wanna
live
up right?
Around these people
and we can separate yourself from me.
If they always in the middle of some drama,
and if you wanna seek the Most High
and mercy and
salvation,
Father, then wherever they go,
righteously separate yourself.
Miss, wanna follow them everywhere they go? Separate yourself, you know what I'm saying?
You gotta go sleep in a tent, yeah.
Out in the woods somewhere.
You have to separate yourself.
Just your clothes and the food.
And we can separate yourself from
you gotta do what you gotta do.
And if you
gotta
wanna
do.
Seek the Most High, and see your salvation, and live righteously.
Sometimes people can be so easy.
yourself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You get to playing these beautiful songs, these beautiful praise songs. It's hard to stop. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Well, shalom, shalom, family. Shalom again. Come on in. Welcome aboard. We're excited about tonight's broadcast. And you're going to be treated to a doubleheader tonight. I know you guys don't know a lot about baseball, but stay with us. You'll find out what a doubleheader is. This is not going to be a full doubleheader, though, but a partial one. And the partial part is going to be substantial in its own right. It's going to be very useful in your walk with the Most High and your understanding in his views, in how he views our relationship with him. In other words, how he views man's relationship with the Most High, men and women relationship to the Most High, and men and women relationship to each other. Hallelujah. But first, we've got to tell the people who we are. Not going to skip that. So welcome once again to another edition of the Hebrew Israelite Elders Show. And we are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite Nation. I am Elder Yaliah, and I have my trusted compadre, Ima Hayim, with us tonight. Hallelujah. You want to say hello to the listener, Ima?
Shalom, shalom.
Hallelujah.
Family. That's right. I'm in here for a minute.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, all right, fam. We're happy to have you with us, and we're certain that you Uz people, and I want to emphasize you Uz people will be edified by tonight's message, or should I say tonight's messages, as in plural. And what do I mean by tonight's messages? Well, the Most High laid in our hearts a very important core message that he wants us to deliver to his people tonight. And we're going to be obedient and convey that message under the leading and anointing of his set-apart spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. And that message is entitled, It's Time for a Separation. Hallelujah. Subtitle, How Yahuwah's True People Will Be Manifested. Again, tonight's core message will be, It's Time for a Separation, How Yahuwah's True People Will Be Manifested. And we have foundational scripture for that, like we have for every week. And we're going to go ahead and read that now. Our foundational scripture is found in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 19. And we're going to read it from two different versions, just to give it a fuller context. We're going to begin with the King James Version, and then we're going to follow that by the Amplified Classic Version. Okay, again, we're talking about it's time for a separation. How Yahuwah's true people will be manifested. So let's go ahead and read the King James Version, found in Romans 8, 19. It reads as follows. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of Yahuwah. I'm going to read that again. That's just a short verse. Let it sink in. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of Yahuwah. Key word being manifestation, okay? Get that word in your head. We're going to come back to it again and again. I'm going to read the same scripture from the Amplified Classic Version. It reads as follows. For even the whole creation, all nature, wait expectantly and long earnestly for Yahuwah's Son to be made known. And they don't use the word manifestation, but that's what manifestation means, to be made known, to be brought out into the open. in the material world, the visible world. So it says, they wait expectantly and longs earnestly for Ur's sons and daughters to be made known. Waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. One more time out of the Amplified. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for Yahuwah's sons to be made known. And they have it in bracket. Waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. Close bracket. Hallelujah. So we're going to be talking about manifestation. Manifestation. Now, here's a question. Why haven't the world, in general, and we know there's exceptions, there are so-called black people, Negroes, who know sons and daughters of Yahuwah are. There are Gentiles, white people, Asians, you have it, who know who the true people of Yahuwah are. But we're talking about the masses. And even those people who know, they're not reverencing Yahuwah's people as and daughters of Yahuwah. They know who the Yahuwah somehow has revealed to who they are, who Yah's true people are, but the people themselves are not reverencing this revelation. They're not reverencing who Yahuwah's true people are. So what's the difference of knowing and not knowing? But our question goes to why haven't the world, we come up the masses, why haven't they seen the true manifestation of Yahuwah's chosen people? Is it ever going to happen? Is it too late for it to happen? Has that window closed? And if it hasn't closed, when will the revealing be? Okay, under the guidance of the Ruach HaKodesh, Yahuwah's set apart spirit, we're going to talk about these things tonight. And we're going to hopefully answer these questions. And that will be during our core message for tonight. But for right now, as we said earlier, we would like to pivot and briefly add an addendum to the subject matter of our last two broadcasts entitled Message to the Black Man. You say, I thought you was done with that. Well, we are. But those of you old enough to know, there was an old show on TV years ago. I mean, I was a little kid. It was called The FBI. Ema, do you remember that?
It sure was.
One of your favorite shows. Okay. I remember it was somebody's favorite show in my house because the part I remember, it says, The FBI. That guy with a deep voice, come on, say that. That's about all I remember of that show. I mean, it looked like it was a good show, like a police, you know, detective type show. It looked interesting. I can't remember a single episode, so I'm not going to go there. But anyway, why ever bring up this show? This show, I remember the end of it. The end of this show, when you thought it was over, you know, let's say the show lasted 30 minutes, and then let's say, come on, 8 o'clock p.m., and it goes over at 8:30. So, you know, at 8:25, you have your last commercial. You say, oh, the show is over. But somehow this show, it came on for a brief few seconds after the last bit of extra commercials, and it said this, the epilogue. I remember that. I remember that, the epilogue. And I don't know what they're talking about, the epilogue, but all I remember was after they say the epilogue, the show will play for about 40 more seconds, and then it'll go over. So I guess the epilogue was you seeing the results of, you know, what happened, either the detective, he caught his man, you know, and now you see the man in jail, and the epilogue could probably just be them saying what the fate of this man going to be. Well, he's going to spend the next 40 years in jail with in solitary confinement on diet of bread and water, you know, something like that. And it would go over. It was called the epilogue. That was the ending of the show. Well, that's what we're going to do here. We're just going to tie in a little epilogue. That was a long way of saying that, but sorry about that. But that's what we put here. That's the epilogue. The series concluded the message to the black man, your false pride is your downfall. Yes, we did indeed conclude that message. But we have described this to be an epilogue to that series. And we're going to read the definition of the word epilogue now. So you get nothing out of this broadcast, you're going to get what that means, epilogue. Three short definitions of epilogue. They listed them in a row. Epilogue is spelled E-P-I-L-O-G-U-E. E-P-I-L-O-G, like G as in George, U-E. Epilogue is a section or speech, in other words, a message or address, and that's, I like the word message because that's what we're going to deliver, at the end of a book or play that serves as a comment on or a conclusion to what has happened. It serves as a comment to or conclusion. It serves as a comment on or conclusion to what has happened. So we did the series. Now we're going to have something that serves as a comment on that or conclusion to, in addition to what has happened. Another second definition is a final or concluding act or event. Last is the final scene of a play that comments on or summarizes the main action. I like the word summarize. Okay, so we're going to comment on, summarize, and conclude the message to the black man series. And hopefully add a little cherry on top or a little icing on the cake, so to speak. Now, if you haven't heard that, the first two parts of the message to the black man series, please go back into our archives and listen to those two shows. Those two shows were last week and the week before. Please listen to that. And whether you're a man or a woman, it was a message to everybody. It was entitled Message to the Black Man. So please go back and listen to that. Now, we could never say everything we had planned to say in a two-hour broadcast. And those who are in broadcasting know what I mean. There will always be some remains on the table, some nuggets that we would have liked to thrown in, but for time's sake, we didn't get the opportunity. But for tonight, we would just like to add some clarity and conclusiveness to the broad list of items we discussed during the last 2 weeks. We'll briefly get to them. Hallelujah. An epilogue to the to message to the black man. Okay, unlike any other face of the earth, we so-called black people, black men, black people in general, black men in particular, whether we're called Negroes, descendants of slaves from slave ships. Unlike any other people on the face of the earth, we have a difference. We have a difference. There is a difference about us. Let's say it like that. What is that difference? We, unlike any other tribe or tongue or nation, we alone have a covenant, official agreement, a ratified contract with the Most High, Yahuwah. And during those 2 weeks, last 2 weeks, we went to the foundation of that covenant. We went to its very inception that was found under Exodus, the 19th chapter, gave to give us all a foundational perspective of what's going on with our people and our black men in particular. We alone were given that covenant by the Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 2, Yahuwah said to us, "You only have I known of all the family." In other words, all the people, tribes, and tongues. "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. You only have I known intimately." What was one of the things that made us different? We, and we alone, is the one that were given the covenant that signed on. We just weren't given it. He just didn't say, "Hey, I got a covenant for you if you're interested." No, we entered into the covenant. The covenant was ratified. It was finalized, signed, and sealed, and delivered. I know it don't look like we're set apart because we look too much like the world right now. Sometimes it looks like we're leading the way. We're leading the charge for the world. But that's not the way Yahuwah meant it to be. And if we want our condition to change for the better, that's not the way we can continue in. That's not the way we were created. We weren't wired for this. We weren't wired to walk in the ways of the world. So again, we are the only ones to enter into an official agreement or our covenant with the Most High. That's why he goes on to say, "Therefore will I punish you." Oh boy, just took you high and said, we're the only people who enter into a covenant, official agreement with the Most High. Now we're bringing you down low because we're talking about punishment. That's why he goes on to say, "Therefore I will punish you for all of your iniquities." He will punish us if we renege on. The word renege means to go back on, turn from, or abandon the terms of the contract. Again, if we go back on, turn from, or abandon the terms of the contract, if we renege on the contract, we are subject to the punishment, the penalties, a.k.a., come on, what's the a.k.a., also known as curses. The Most High established the terms of the contract. Not us. He established the terms. We agreed to the terms. But the Most High established those terms. They were called the law. You can see those laws in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, among other places in Scripture. And the breaking or the transgressions of those laws are called sin. It's called sin. The breaking of these laws or the transgression of these laws, 1 John 3 and 4 says, "Whosoever committed sin transgresseth the law." For sin is the transgression of the law. If you ever want to know what sin is, down and dirty answer, down and righteous answer, short answer, it is this. Sin is the transgression of the law. We're talking about we have those penalties if we break the covenant, or renege on the covenant. Well, if we renege on the covenant, basically what we did is sin in Yahuwah's sight. And just as there are great blessings for adhering to and obeying the law or the covenant, there are also severe penalties, a.k.a. curses, or disobeying, abandoning, or doing away with the Yahuwah's law. Did you hear me? Abandoning, disobeying, or doing away with Yahuwah's laws? Did that ring any bells? Doing away with? She'll ring a few bells. Many people in the church are proclaiming the laws of Yahuwah are done away with. Even though Yahusha said, think not that I am come to destroy the law. He then went on to say, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will not pass from this law. But we have our brothers and sisters going around saying the laws are done away with. Well, it says here, just as there are great blessings for adhering to and obeying the law, there are severe penalties, curses, for disobeying, abandoning, and doing away or doing away with the Yahuwah's laws. So much for the people who says Yahuwah's laws are done away with. See, what we have to understand, and everyone listen in, but talking specifically to the brothers, we are wired differently. I used to be an electrician. You don't have to be an electrician to understand this. We are wired. Other nations and tongues, they're wired to behave this way. We are wired to behave that way. Other tongues and nations may have a propensity to do this, party, fornicate, and do this. Our spiritual propensity is to walk righteously in the safe confines of the Most High's laws and commandments. Yeah, same ones that some of our brothers and sisters in the church say are done away with. Yahuwah never said they're done away with. The Most High never said they're done away with. But some church leaders have said they're done away with. And who does the people follow? Well, some follow the Most High, but others follow man, follow the pastor. So, the brothers, we are wired differently. So, you see other nations and tongues fornicating, stealing, killing, murdering, gangbanging. I remember the Elliot Ness, the Untouchables. You had these gangsters, white suits, machine guns, shooting up in the moonshine days. What was that called? A prohibition. They were just like, you know, akin to today's drug gangsters, drug lords. But back then, the drug choice was alcohol. Because alcohol was forbidden back in that time, I think the 20s or 30s. So you had, you know, instead of your drug dealers, you had the alcohol dealers. Okay, Elliot Ness, but it was Capone and Frank Nitti and all of those guys, Lucky Luciano. You could, you know, these were household names. So these guys went around committing crime, and it looked like crime was paying for them. They had all the money, the women, the cars, popularity. They even had judges and cops on their payroll. So it looked like, they say crime doesn't pay, it looked like crime was paying for them, right? That's for them. Here we are trying to do it. Did we get the same result? Oh, yeah, you might have a few drug kingpins, but it don't last long. My memory fails me about the guy in New York. There was a couple of guys in New York. I watched it, this series, and I guess they had was pushing heroin. Forget it. One guy was from North Carolina originally. Oh, I'll remember right after the show was over, right? But anyway, every town has had their, one was Frank Lucas. Ah, it came back. I think one was Lucas. I know that. And I forgot the other one, Ricky or something. But these were two big Harlem kingpins. And every city had, you know, city I had, I grew up in had one. Every city had their big drug kingpin, black drug king. But these guys didn't last. They didn't last long. They were either killed, thrown in jail, were died in jail, killed off by turf wars or something. Some of them may have started using their own product and had a horrible end. So it doesn't prosper. Sin doesn't make us prosperous like the other nations. And we're talking about drug dealers, but you could just look at your CEOs, these, you know, high-level swindlers, and your high politicians, people in high places. Look at the 13 families who run this whole thing behind the scenes, the ones who the presidents and prime ministers work for. They literally serve the devil. And it looks like they're getting away with murder. Yeah, in this lifetime, it might appear to be that way. It's not so for our people. We were not wired for that. Wired for what? We were not wired to prosper in sin. Chapter 19. And that covenant, we accepted. You know, for clarity, it doesn't take long. Everything is at the, everything is right in front of you now with Google. I'm going to briefly read a portion of that covenant. I read it last week. I'm not going to read it as much in depth, but here it is. This was our original covenant. Chapter 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mountain. Here we go. And Moses went up unto Yahuwah, and Yahuwah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus it started. The covenant is starting. Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, as our forefathers all the way to us, applies from our forefathers all the way up to our lives. It says, tell them this, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will hear the terms, he said, you saw my power in verse 4. Okay, just wanted you to know my power. Want you to know I can do this, what I'm about to tell you. I'm very capable. All you got to do is know he created heaven and earth. But he's laying out the terms. Verse 5. Now, therefore, if, first condition, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, read the next chapter. Read Exodus 20. You'll see the most famous. All listed out. All 10 of them. I give you a clue, right? All 10 of them. Keep my covenant. What are they referred to by today? The 10. The big 10. Big 10 commandments. Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Above all the people of the earth. It says, for all the earth is mine. Now he's going to tell the more benefits to this. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of, for this is our functionality. This is what we're supposed to do, not just sit on our behind. We're supposed to do something. He said what he's going to do. What? Make a peculiar treasure above all the people of the earth? But here's what he intends for us to do. This is supposed to be our function in the earth. And ye shall be a kingdom of priests unto the Most High. And holy nation, a set-apart nation. How was the other nations, tongues, and tribes supposed to know of Yahuwah, the Most High? By and through us. That was our function. We, a people, were the priests. We were to be his representatives upon the earth. We were supposed to be his ambassadors, his mouthpiece. You think we did that as a nation of people? Okay. It says, a nation of priests and holy nation, I mean set apart nation, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So Moshe came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which Yahuwah had commanded. Okay, so he laid it out to them. Now, we could have dedication, the offer, or rejected it. What did our foreparents do? It says, and all the people answered together, here's your answer, and said, he said this, quoted, all that Yahuwah has spoken, we will do. Did you hear that? It says, this is what the answers our forefathers said to the Most High's offer. They said, in unison, all that Yahuwah has spoken, we will do. And Moses gladly returned the words of the people back to the Most High. That was it. That was the establishment. That was the establishment of the covenant. Well, let's get into a few terms and conditions. Let's get into a few benefits and penalties. Okay, benefits or blessings, they could be called, or adhering to the terms and conditions, adhering to the covenant. And on the other side of that, penalties, a.k.a. curses, for disobeying, for reneging, for abandoning the terms and conditions. Look at this, Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahuwah, thy mighty one, to observe and to do all his commandments. All the whole covenant, which he commanded thee this day, that Yahuwah will set thee on high. Listen, he will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Are we on high as a people above all the nations of the earth? Clear answer is no. That's not the only answer. Other answer is we're the opposite from being on high above all the nations. We're below all the nations of the earth. He said, blessed you be in the city, blessed you be in the field. All these blessings, blessings, blessings. 14 verses of blessing. Here's a few more. You shall command the blessings upon thy storehouses. Listen to this. And all, A-L-L, and all that thou settest thine hand to do. Man, we can't fail. Everything we set our hands to do, we'll be blessed. And he shall bless thee in the land which Yahuwah thy mighty one giveth thee. He shall establish thee a holy set apart people unto himself. Hallelujah. If thou shalt keep the commandment of Yahuwah thy mighty one, and what? Walk in his ways. Why? Paul said, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit. You say, well, walk in the spirit, then we don't have to walk in his word. No, what did Yahushua say? The words that I speak to you, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit. They are spirit, and they are life. Hallelujah. So if you walk outside of the word, you walking outside of words, you're walking in death. You're walking in darkness. Hallelujah. It says, and Yahuwah shall make thee plenteous in good. Oh, man, just full of blessings. Now, I'm just summarizing, and we still said a lot of blessings. But verse 15 says, but if it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, oh, thou wilt not hearken to the words of Yahuwah, thy mighty one, to observe and to do all of his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all of these penalties, it actually used another word. It said that all of these curses shall come upon thee. And you can't outrun them. It says, and they shall overtake thee. He's just going to catch up with you and pass you up, knock you over. He's going to come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and store. Now, you want me to read all these to the end of the show? No, can't do it because it goes all the way to verse 68. That's about five times more curses, more penalties than blessings. Look how it ends up. Tell you the end of the story. Verse 68, and Yahuwah shall bring thee into Egypt again, the house of bondage. I'll bring you into bondage, slavery once again. How are you going to get there? Where he's going to take you? He's going to take you to a place far. He's not going to enslave you in your own homeland. He's going to take you to a place far away. Where is that at? Well, that's in Genesis chapter 15. Read verses 12, 13, and 14. Abraham's vision. He showed Father Abraham. You should be a stranger in a strange land. Basically, you're going to serve a strange people. Serve them. For 400 years. But after that, many of you are going to have learned your lesson. Because after that, I'm going to judge that nation. And after the end of that judgment, you're going to come out with great possession. He was saying, where are my possessions? 400 years is over. Well, he says after that is not, the very next thing is not the second Exodus. The very next thing is he's going to judge that nation. That nation is being judged. Oh, it's been judged. And he said, afterward, you're going to come out with great possession. He said, I'm going to bring you into bondage again, this time with ships, slave ships. By the way, whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for slave men and slave women, and no man shall be able to redeem you or buy you out of them. Money can't buy you out. Politics can't buy you out. The Democrats, the Republicans can't write it out. Only Yahuwah can bring us out of this. Well, how he's going to do it? Well, he gives you a pathway how to do it in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves. That has to do with repentance. You can't get away with nothing outside of repentance. So we're talking about we cannot get away with it, brother. You seeing men, you know, some of you are in pornography. And look like you see these guys that have all the women they want. Look like they can have all the fun they want. And, oh, I could do it too. You think you're going to get away with it like they are? No, you're not. No, you're not. These curses that I've read, and I just read a minute portion. This is 68 verses. I didn't even read half of them. I didn't even read a third of them. And you think you can get away with it? No. And it's five times more curses than there are blessings. You're not going to get away with it. You are not wired to get away with sin. And Yahuwah knows that. And he says, that's why he's in Jeremiah 10:2-3, it says, to learn not the way of the heathen. That means the other nation. Don't look at them and covet after what they have. Don't look at them with envy, envious eyes, with jealousy, and want what they have, because you're envying something that's sinful and vain. He went on to say in that same chapter and verse, Jeremiah 10:2-3, says in verse 3, verse 2 says, don't learn their way. Don't copy their ways. Don't seek their ways. And he says, for the customs or the ways of the other nations are vain. That means they're useless. They're worthless. They produce no good result. They are vain. They're perverted. Black men and black people in general, we will not succeed in evil doing. Severe ramifications. And we're talking about severe ramifications. Just try to imagine being packed like a sardine, like a can of sardines on a slave ship crossing the Atlantic Ocean from the west coast of Africa to the east coast of what they call the New World, United States, maybe with a stop or two in the Caribbean. Can you imagine? First of all, some people couldn't, not only the torture, but some people couldn't take it mentally. What about the claustrophobic people? You packed. You can't even lift your head up. The heat that was generated down there. No arm room, no wiggle room. Everything you got to do, whether you got to go to the restroom, this way or that, everything got to be there. The claustrophobia in one spot, you can't even turn around. That probably drove many of people out of their mind, just out of their mind. I remember when I was a kid, I was locked in a trunk. My brother and my dad, they were just playing a joke, and I was locked in the trunk. Man, a little kid, I don't know, I probably was only in that trunk for about 10 seconds or so. It felt like it might as well have been an eternity. Trunk was pitch black, and it seemed like I was in there for an hour. And all I was thinking of was, there's no way out of here. I was panicking. If I would have just thought for a second, I knew they was going to open the door. But at that moment of panic, no, logic went out the window. I must have beat on that thing. I'm surprised they didn't punch a hole in it. I guess that's why they opened it. He didn't want to ruin his car. But just think, that's 10 seconds, 15 at the most, of panic and being like you're claustrophobic in a tight and closed quarter. Now, if I would have relaxed, I could have probably realized I could actually turn around in that thing. It might be a little bumpy, but I could turn. These people most likely couldn't even turn around. They were shackled and chained. Could you imagine just being on your back facing up, smashed pretty much? That was unimaginable. So the ones who did not go out of their mind with claustrophobia, they had to face all other kinds of. What about when sickness went around? So you have people coughing and germs flying everywhere. Usually when one gets sick, many get sick. So you're vomiting and whatever you're doing, feverish. That must have felt like hell. You probably would have traded the lake of fire in just to get out of that boat, out of the hull of that boat. It's never worked for us, Israel. Sin has never worked for us. And you brothers and some sisters who have gotten so high-minded and heady that you've turned completely off the Most High and you've embraced the heathen philosophy, in the worst way, except in their theory of atheism, that there is no Most High. I mean, brothers and sisters, I pray that you turn from that evil worldview, that this thing just came about all by happenstance, by a big clap. Clap of what? And who did the clapping? Man, that's why the Bible say a fool, only a fool can think in his heart, there is no creator. There is no Yahuwah. Thinking like a fool. You've imitated the heathen to the nth degree to not only turn your back on the Most High, but to denounce him and say there is no Most High. Now, I pray that before this broadcast is over, you have a change of heart. So, the black man, the Israelite, we will not succeed in our evil doings. There will be severe ramifications. We, the so-called black people, Israelites, were not meant to prosper in our sins the way other nations do. We were wired differently, and we've read the account, the establishment of the covenant in Exodus 19. We were pulled out. We were people pulled out from people to be a set apart people. And he gave us benefits. We were going to be higher than all the people of the earth. But he gave us a function too. We were supposed to be the Most High's mouthpiece, his ambassadors to the other nation. Now he laid out the terms and conditions, the benefits, blessings, penalties, curses, and he says, if you adhere, you get the blessings. If you disobey, or remember, transgress against the law, if you disobey, which is sin, you get the curses. And we know out of the book of Daniel 9 and 11, I won't read it for time. The Bible says all Israel have sinned, and therefore the curses have come upon us. So if you see a people here, I know I said this last week, it bears repeating, just to wipe out any of the counterfeits that you may have seen or will see. If you see a people that's going around here, and they're very prosperous as a people. We're not just talking about individuals. They're riding high up on the land, high up on the earth. They're riding high up on the earth. Like he said, we would have if we obeyed. They're riding high. They have the money, the wealth, the prosperity, the best of things that the earth can give you, the world can give you. Their children go to the best schools. They live in the most affluent neighborhood. They own most of the establishment in the world. What establishment like what? The educational system, the banking system, all the corporations. Hey, the influence of the world. To influence you, you got to get your message out. They own the media, television, radio, online. Oh, the print media. Oh, man. They have influence in government, in every nation's government. So if you see a people masquerading, going around, they're riding high on the earth, have the power, the money, and they're saying they're the people of Yahuwah, you know we don't curse on this radio broadcast, but they are a something-something. They're a big something-something liar. You fill in the blanks. They are not the people. He said, well, you know, they got all these blessings because they're his people. Well, they got all these blessings. Yahuwah's people would have gotten all these blessings if they didn't sin. You say, well, they didn't sin. Oh man. I'm sorry. I got to read one more scripture. Well, you know, I said I was just kind of going to paraphrase it real quick, and for sake of time. But I think I'm just going to read it to shut some people up. Daniel 9 and 11. What if the people do, the real people, were given the original covenant way back on Mount Sinai, one of the first scriptures I read? What did they do? Did they keep it? And therefore, that's why you see the people having all these blessings today. Did they keep that? Did they keep it? Did they adhere to it? And got all the blessings and still getting all the blessings? Or did they renege on it? Did they disobey? Did they turn from it? And therefore invoke the curses? Let's see. Let's see what the prophets say. The Bible says, who believes our report? It says, Uah's word be true and every man a liar. I don't even care. So that means that what you're hearing across the news media and all the media, all the satanic media, is you can put that down as being a lie when it comes up against, when it runs in contradiction to Yahuwah's truth. Okay? So I'm going to believe the Most High's report. So let's see what Yahuwah's people did. Did they keep it or break it? And if they kept it, they should have these blessings. But if they broke it, they should be having these curses, right? Let's see. True prophet. Oh, here's Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. He says, Daniel, did the Most High's true people, did they keep the covenant of the Most High Yahuwah, and therefore the blessings are poured out upon them? Or did they disobey and invoke the curses upon them? Answer that. Well, here's an answer. Daniel say, yea, all. He didn't leave nothing out. A-L-L means all, without exception, nobody left out. A-L-L, everyone, all of Israel. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law. Ooh, fine. Okay. There can't be no good coming out of that. All Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing. Depart from what? Depart from the covenant. Even by departing, they might not obey the voice, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, repercussion, something coming after this. Therefore, the curse, penalty. Therefore, the curses is poured upon us. Woo. And the oath that is written in the law of Moshe, the servant of the Most High, because we have sinned against him. We gave you the definition of sin, transgression of the law, transgression of the covenant. Because we have sinned against him. Well, you might say, well, those people over there with the white skin, they still might be his people. They're blessed. What happened is, yeah, they did sin, but they made it right. They got it right. So, you know, his curses didn't last forever, right? Wrong. Listen to this. How long do they last? We're talking about the curses here. So they sinned, then they got it together, huh? Even though that the gate, LGBT capital of the world, going on over there. But I'm going to let y'all speak. He can speak for himself. Okay. Look at all these curses. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Ooh, I bet them brothers know about that. I watched Alex Haley Roots, and that was a soft, watered-down version of what really happened. That was nothing. Goodbye, Uncle Tom showed it a little bit more graphic. That was watered down. It was pure hell. We wouldn't even want to know how bad it really was in Israel. But we knew A lot of brothers have betrothed a wife. You know what they call it, jump the broom. But anytime Master Charlie look at that woman and he get hot in his pants, he could just call his servant over and bring her here to me now. He said, another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, but shall not dwell therein. Who built the White House? Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. Read Dr. Claude Anderson's Black Labor, White Wealth. Our people built this nation on the sweat and the whips of their back, but we didn't take in the wealth. Black labor, white wealth. Okay. Well, you said, well, in the last days, we don't have to look for the curses. The curses expired. Oh, okay. Well, look. Starting at verse 44 of Deuteronomy 28, it says, shall lend to thee. Okay, so who's doing the lending? It's, and thou shalt not lend to him. Who owns the financial institutions to do the lending? Even though they don't like to lend to us, but who owns them? It sure ain't true Israel. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. It just went on and on and on. And listen. Summarize and say, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed as a cohesive nation. That means your culture, your language, your religion, your economy, all of that that makes up a cohesive nation, your educational system, all that will be destroyed. That means every individual Israelite will be destroyed. You'll be destroyed as a nation. It said, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of Yahuwah, thy mighty one, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded thee. And listen, it said, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed, okay, upon thy descendants, way over here to our time, to the present, upon thy seed forever. So you'd still be able to look around and see that. He didn't say you could look around and see people running, all the banks and running all the, educational systems, pretty much control the politics, and printing all the money and promoting the LGBT and, have the media to promote wickedness. No. If you're looking at somebody that's a nation of people that's prospering in this world, that looks like they have more of the benefit of that, then you're not looking at your Ua's people. All right? Just wanted to make that clear. Wanted to clear that up. Okay, so, black man. We, again, are not wired to succeed in sin. See, sin doesn't pay us well. It doesn't pay us good wages. You could be a Gentile as a hitman. He could knock off a few heads, get paid well, buy a house, move up to the country. A black man, you're going to reap. You're not going to retire with benefits. You might get hit. The last hit might be on you. Sin doesn't pay our people well. Right? They say crime doesn't pay. Now, that's certainly true for our people. So we were designed to succeed only when we're walking in adherence to the Most High's covenant, his laws and commandments. When we're following the example that our Mashiach, Yahushua, established, that's the only success for us. And that's what a lot of you don't want to hear. But that's the only success. That's the only path of success. The path that Yahushua established when he gave his life. That's why he's called the repairer of the breach. He repaired that road that was broken to the Father. But we have no excuse now. If we stay within the safe confines of that path that he reestablished, that's what it means to be in Mashiach, be in the safe confines of that path that he established. Then we have continued access to the Father. And we have good success. Remember, the blessings is he say, whatever you put your hand to do. But we have to come back as a people. Yeah, you come back one individual at a time. But for us to be a cohesive nation, riding high up on the earth above all nations, we have to come back as a nation. You can't succeed on your own. We cannot succeed without the Most High. Yahusha said in John 15:5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, see, we got to walk in his covenant, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And just for you high-minded brother, he says, for without me, ye can do nothing. Didn't scripture say, it is he that gives us the power to get wealth, to give us the authority to get wealth, and that's just not money wealth, wealth in your family, wealth in your business, wealth on your jobs, wealth in your health, your body. It's the Most High that give you the power to get wealth. 3:2 says, he desire above all things that we prosper and be in good health. But what's the condition? It is a condition. He say, as your soul prosper, as you walk in adherence to the covenant. Go back to the covenant. Reestablish yourself. It's called repentance, brothers and sisters. Just one more point I'd like to make, and we are truly closing that out. Brothers say submission, 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 submission. Let's talk briefly about 3 minutes how submission really works. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, 22, it starts with this. It says, submitting yourselves. It's talking about the man and the woman. The man and the woman he's talking to. Submitting yourselves, both of you, you sexes, male, female, submitting yourselves one to another. Okay? How could I submit to her? She submit to me? That don't make sense. No, it makes sense. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Most High, in reverence to the Most High. So that means you're buying into the covenant, both of you, man and woman, husband and wife. You're both buying into the covenant. That's how you're going to get the most out of not only your relationship with the Most High, but in your relationship with each other. You're going to do good by each other. You're going to love each other. You're going to respect each other and honor each other. That's submitting to yourselves, both buying into the covenant. And, yes, the next verse says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Okay, your own husband. With him being established as the head of the household, not the slave master of the household, the head of the household. Go up a few to get the proper order. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Mashiach, Yahushua HaMashiach. We have to humble ourselves to him. He's known as the living word and be in adherence to Yahuwah's word, husbands, men. So he's the head of every man, and the head of the woman is the man. And there's another order. And the head of Mashiach is Yahuwah. So that's the biblical hierarchy. Yahuwah, Yahusha. You know, Yahusha, HaMashiach. Man and woman. But when man and woman are both submitted to the Most High covenant, they're actually submitted to each other. That's how true submission works. So if you work if you're on a team, happen to be the quarterback, other guys the halfback, then you got the blockers, the offensive linemen. They're all working in unison. If they all do their part, they when they score, they all score. It doesn't matter who which man run across the goal line. They're all working in unison. Somebody had to block for them. And if it's a passing play, somebody had to throw them the ball. They all score. That's why you look on the scoreboard. They don't have one man's name up there and then another man's name. They don't have the score 21-14. Mr. Smith, 21. Mr. Johnson, 14. No, they have the names of the team. They have the names of the team. Who won it? The Buccaneers won. Buccaneers, 21. The Chiefs, 14. So when the husband and wife are working, are humbled themselves, and are adhering to Yahuwah's covenant, they're on the same team. That's how true submission really works. Because truly, Yahuwah then is looking, when you're in obedience to the covenant, Yahuwah is looking at you as one person, as one unit. Oh, no, no, you're not. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you. And then I'm going to be done with this epilogue. Yes, I'm going to show it to you. Okay. Just to prove that submission, true submission, is not a one-way street. You're both buying into the covenant, Yahuwah's covenant concerning man, the man-woman dynamic, the husband-wife dynamic. Yahuwah looks at you both as one when you're what? Both in agreement. Hallelujah. It says, and in agreement with what? To him, to his covenant. It says, he looks at you both as one, one body, one unit, one team, and one purpose. Scripture backs that up. All right. Here we go. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. You know, you're supposed to emotionally detach yourself and physically. And shall, come on now, doesn't mean you stop loving your mother and father. So some people like to take things way out of context. Okay, so, but your purpose, your destiny, and fulfilling that destiny, your Yah-given destiny, is no more going to be through your family, your earthly family, siblings, mother and father. It's going to be with your spouse, your husband, your wife, the one who Yah put together, the one he says no man could put asunder. That's who you're going to accomplish it with. And that's why he's going to look at you both as one. One, that's what one purpose means. Both fulfilling Yahuwah's will and purpose for your lives. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to, hang on to his wife, and they shall be what? One flesh. That's in the book, the beginning book, Genesis 2:24. That was Genesis 2:24. Here's some more. And he answered and said unto them, and this is Yahusha, I'm going to read in Matthew 19:4-6. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. For they are no more twain, that means two, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Yahuwah hath joined together, let not man put asunder. In other words, Let not man attempt to come in between or destroy. The three-pronged relationship. You both buy into the covenant. That's the principle of that three-pronged relationship. You're both buying into the covenant, the man and the woman. We're talking about true submission now, not ego stuff. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. Look how strong it is when you're in agreement, when you're coming together, man and woman, husband and wife, both adhering to the covenant of Yahuwah. That's true submission. That's loving each other. That's being submission to each other. The man has the office. One player is the quarterback. One player is the blocker. Yes, the quarterback seems to get more esteem. But if he wins or he helps to win by throwing a touchdown pass, the one who blocked for him, the offensive guard or tackle or center, they're going to get the glory of winning the game. They're going to say, we won. Their team's name going to be on the board at the score. It's going to say, this team 21, this other losing team 14. Not going to have the quarterback's name on there. Not going to have the halfback name. It's going to have the team name. So that's how Yahuwah looks at you. He sees your team name. It says, starting at verse 9, two are better than one. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. It says two are better than one. Who agreeing to the covenant is better than one person. Two people in a relationship agreeing to Yahuwah's covenant is better than one person in a relationship agreeing to Yahuwah's covenant. Because if one person doing it, you might have hell. The Bible says, can two walk together? Two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. So he wants you to be in agreement. That's why I say, before you even get together, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, it goes, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You could accomplish more. It says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, and we're not talking about fornication, so don't go there. If two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord, in other words, a relationship that consists of the man, husband, the woman or the wife, and the Most High, Yahuwah, is not quickly or easily broken. In other words, it's solid, airtight, hard to penetrate, or come in between or break up. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. That's, again, from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Verses 9 through 12. So, how do we get back, brothers? The egos. All this foolishness about, we're not winning in the business world. We're not winning in the political world. We're not winning in the financial world. So we say, well, I'm gonna win with the women. So you're going to win with sin. We talked about fornication last week. We're not going to go there. Matter of fact, y'all even singled out fornication as a sin amongst sins. He said every other sin is done without the body, but fornication, this is done to your own body. Why do you think some of you come down with the diseases, and even mental illnesses? So you're going to, the only opt-out you have is, I'm going to compete. With, well, I'm going to take his women. God's gifting, I could win that in this world. Well, no, you ain't winning. You ain't winning, you're sinning. No. The real answer is repentance. We have to repent, turn back to the Most High Yahuwah. and love one another. Okay? That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, you know, you should know who his true people are. That's the so-called black people, the so-called Negroes, so-called descendants of slaves who came to these lands in the Western Hemisphere on slave ships. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and you got to repent and turn from their wicked ways, and where you going to turn to? You're going to turn back to his covenant. You're going to walk. You're going to acknowledge and accept the sacrifice that Yahushua made when he gave his life, shed his blood, to reestablish a pathway to salvation. We had broke that covenant. He reestablished it. You got to give him his due. And we have to stay within the safe confines of that highway. We have to stay in Mashiach. And staying in him don't mean abandoning his covenant. The devil is a liar. That's false doctrine. He reestablished the covenant for us. He is the repairer of that breach. Who made the breach? We made the breach by our sin and disobedience, by turning our backs on him, by reneging on the contract. But he reestablished that pathway, and we don't have any more excuse. Ask him to fill you with his spirit, his Ruach HaKodesh. Turn back to him. Follow his laws and commandments. They're close to you now. You don't have to carry around 2 tablets of stone. They're in your heart. He said he's going to take them off the stone. He's going to put them in our heart. And he plugs them up, too. He activates them. His Ruach HaKodesh activates them. So you got the living law and commandments in you. You have no excuse. He didn't change the wording. He just took those words and made them alive. He put them in our hearts. Now they're beating, they're pumping with blood. They're alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Scripture says the word of Yahuwah is alive and active. It's not dead. It's not on tables or something. It's alive. And we have to follow it even tighter. That's why he says, you know, covenant says on stone that, you know, you commit adultery, you know, you put to death. You know, that's a physical act of adultery. We should say this covenant is live and active now. Now you got the full understanding. He said not only the physical act, he said if you look upon a woman to lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Talks about hating your brother in the law. I mean, it talks about committing murder in the law, physical murder. But since the laws are written in your heart, you got the full context of that. Yahusha says, if you hate your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. Come on now, there's no excuse now. The laws are in your heart. They're not done away with. They just move closer to you. Hallelujah. They just move closer to you. So repent. Turn back to the Most High. I wrote scripture down out of the Berean Bible, Zechariah 1:3. It says, so tell the people that this is what Yahuwah of hosts says. Return to me, declares Yahuwah of hosts, and I will return to you. They say, return to me. If they turn towards me, and I'll turn towards you. He's not going to hold a grudge. Petty like that. Turn to him. He'll turn to you. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity, have fervent love among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. This is the last one. 1 Peter 4:8. but this is just a different version of that, of the one I read. It's just going to expound on it a little bit more. It says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. That's Yahuwah's love. Let me put it this way, make it even closer. Yahusha, the love he displayed for us by shedding his blood. That was love. That's love in action. That's what charity actually means, love in action. We don't just walk around, I love you. Don't never do nothing. The love, the act of love that Yahusha, HaMashiach, displayed when he gave his life as a sacrifice, when he gave his life to cover our sin. I mean, when he gave his life, when he gave his blood, if we walk in it to reestablish you within the covenant, it says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. His love is shedding the blood, covered a multitude of your sins. It forgives and disregards the offenses, and it works to repair the damage. His love covered your sin. For those who, chapter 1, it says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, it's true. You go back to his covenant. He said, if you walk in the light, then the blood of Yahusha covers you from all sin. Don't get the demonic doctrine talking about you could live the way you want to, and his blood just covers you. You just, for the rest of your life, you got that get out of jail card. This ain't no Monopoly game. No, matter of fact, it's more earnest now than it was back in the day, because they had the tables on stone. We have the words in our hearts living and pumping. It's alive and active. You have to reestablish yourself with the covenant. He said, turn back to me, and I'll turn back to you. He didn't say a few magic words, hocus pocus, and then you could go back, turning your back on the covenant, living the way you want, and think you're going to have good results. You're not. Remember, we're not wired to prosper in our sins. And what is sin? The transgression of his covenant, transgression of the law. You don't transgress the law and think you're walking on your Yahusha's road that he established, the repair of the breach. You're not walking in Yahuwah's covenant by walking in sin. I don't care what establishment you're with, what church you're with, what pastor you have. It's all a lie. If they saying the covenant is over, the laws are over, they're done away with, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Yahusha didn't say, he said the very opposite. He didn't come to destroy it. He had to repair it. Breach was, it was broken. He's a repairer of the breach. Turn back to the Most High, and he will return to you. That's the way we prosper, black man. That's the way we succeed. And when we walk the way he meant for us to walk, our function as priests, set apart priests, representatives, ambassadors for the Most High, then we don't have to struggle. He will lift us up above all the nations of the earth. We will be above only and not beneath. We will be the lender and not the borrower. Repent, black man, repent. Hallelujah. That's the end of the epilogue. That was almost a whole message. Hallelujah. That's the end of the epilogue for Message to the Black Man. And that's really the end. No more epilogues after that. Ema, before I pivot and turn to what's supposed to be our core message, before I do that, and our core message is was going to speak on the change needs to take place. It's time for a change. You know, Sam Cooke's old song. I'm going to give you a chance to come up and, you know, speak what the Most High put on your heart. And we're just going to play this by ear. We're going to say what we can on the new current message. And if you says that's enough of it, that'll be enough. Because actually next week we got something really exciting coming up. I'm not going to steal your thunder. I'm going to let you talk about next week what we're going to be talking about and whatever else put on your heart. Come on up, Dima.
All right, all right. I see that you still have some more you want to talk about, so I'm just going to come up briefly, family, and let you know. Keep in mind that all, not one, not two, but all of the holidays, the Hela days that the people around us want to celebrate are not for us. Yah did not tell us to do it, and we should not be doing it. And that's every Hela day. I don't think there's one Hela day that the Gentiles, brown and light color people, no matter who, what color they are, if they are celebrating these Hela days, then that's something we should not participate in because Yah has given us the feast days that we are supposed to celebrate, not the feast days that we choose out of all of the Hela days, but the feast days are in the scriptures. We need to go by scripture and scripture only. Only Yahuwah shall we serve. Only Yahuwah. Now, since I'm saying that, there's a big holiday that goes on down south. I don't know if it's prevalent up north as much, but down south, people come from everywhere across the country if they can. They come to Mobile. They come to, that's Mobile, Alabama, and they come to Louisiana to do what? And they probably even come to South Florida there next to Mobile. But it's mainly Mobile, and it's mainly in Louisiana, New Orleans, okay? So that holiday for them is Mardi Gras. If you see all these different, if you're down here, you'll see all these different color cakes that they have in the stores for you to get. And they are in multicolors, like a red, yellow, and green type colors, the bright colors of the rainbow. And that's what we have to remember. We cannot be celebrating Mardi Gras. Next week we're going to explain more about what the purpose is of the Mardi Gras. And I'm just going to tell you right now, the Mardi Gras and Carnival, see, are the same celebration. So it may be Carnival in some places is what they call it, but it's still Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras and Carnival are the same thing. Though Mardi Gras technically refers only to Fat Tuesday, the Mardi Gras season actually begins on Epiphany, a Christian, understand that, a Christian holiday celebrated on January 6th, usually. So we're on January 25th, and it just occurred to us that we have not talked about that holiday yet. January 6th, that is otherwise known as the Three Kings Day or the 12th day of Christmas, February 12th kind of thing. But we'll explain all of that that we need to know as to why we're not celebrating. See, a lot of us celebrate these things because we never were told what they were about. We just knew it was fun for the kids or it was fun for the adults, and we never thought about it, okay? So we're going to do Mardi Gras next week. Yah willing, if he allows us to be on the computer, that's what we will be doing, the Mardi Gras. So let's keep our heads on thinking about what is it about before we do it. We don't have to tell you what it's about. You should be looking up everything before you do it, because we cannot concentrate on these Hellah days when we need to be concentrating on Yah's word. And Yah's word, he tells us these things, you see. He tells us exactly what he wants us to do. As far as the feast days are concerned and things of that nature, that's what we need to be participating in, okay? So we will go with that next week. And Yah willing, we will all get our blessings from this lesson that we need. Maybe some people have heard that we shouldn't be doing Mardi Gras, but nobody told you why not, or something to that effect. So you said, okay, I'll just go ahead and celebrate it anyway right now till I figure out something. But we need to be making bookmark of this in our minds, that this is why I'm not doing that. And your life will be at peace with Yah. You will be truly at peace with him instead of all this confusion that they keep putting out. See, that's what it is. It's just confusion for us to keep us from celebrating Yah's way of doing things, you see. So that's what we want. We want to keep up with everything that Yah wants us to do, not what Satan wants us to do. It's all about what Satan wants, and that's what we got to avoid. So we'll go on that next weekend. And Elder, we got 20 minutes until 9 o'clock, so if you go ahead and, if you like, and do some more speaking to end the program for another 15 minutes or so, then we can close out with our music and start over again next week.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I kind of got an idea of maybe what we should do. I looked over the material, and we definitely is out of the realm of possibility that we'll be able to finish this message. So, you know, we'll give it a little advertising like we did with the next week's show of Mardi Gras. Yeah, I think it's Mardi Gras. Yeah, I was looking up when you're talking about Mardi Gras, hedonism. Well, there's a dictionary term for hedonism, and then there's a place. Well, let me see. There's a place and an activity that people engage in that's referred to as hedonism, too. Also, and it's in, I believe it's in Jamaica, and I think it's in the town of Negril, Jamaica. And you know, Jamaica is predominantly a country of Israelites, a.k.a. black people, Negroes. And it's really sad that a country that's predominantly us, so-called Negroes, Israelites, that they engage in this activity. And this activity is so lewd and filthy. And people come from all over the world. A lot of people come from the United States, and they engage in this. It's like debauchery. People get naked and party, drink, I guess smoke weed, you know, get in altered states, do what they want. It's about pleasures, physical, sensual, sexual pleasure. Basically, my word, it's just a legal, it's just a large legal orgy. And, of course, you call up there and there's, no, that's not what we are. You know, I'm just cutting to the chase. Large legal orgy. Is everybody there just messing around with everybody? No, probably not you could just grab a stranger and do what you want. But sometimes you could probably just grab a stranger and do what you want. And there are sexual acts that are going on that are viewed in public, and people do not disturb it. did a little reading on hedonism, and I just want to read the definition of it. And this is not that. This is not the one that happens in Jamaica. This is the actual dictionary definition of hedonism. Hedonism, H-E-D-O-N-I-S-M. And so this is going along with what you were talking about, Mardi Gras, we're going to be talking about next week, because it's the same filthy mess. I mean, it's a little different. I'm not saying people doing things on the streets there, but maybe they are doing things. I've never been to Mardi Gras. So, you know, I don't know what's going on the streets.
They do things on the streets, yes, in New Orleans especially. And we'll get into that.
All right. Yeah, so this hedonism, H-E-D-O-N-I-S-M, hedonism, it says the pursuit of pleasure, sensual self-indulgence. So it's the pursuit of pleasure. So your whole aim is for pleasure, sensual self-indulgence. You just like you're going on a drinking binge, you're going on a sexual, sensual pleasure binge. The philosophy is the ethical theory that pleasure, in the sense of the satisfaction of desires, is the highest good. Pleasure is the highest good and proper aim of human life. So you know, when you're getting your groove on, you're getting all your pleasure on, that's the highest form of life. You know, the other form of worship. Man, you go ahead and worship your ooh, they're saying, I'm going to go ahead and worship my pleasure, my sexual pleasure. That's my religion. What is a hedonistic person? It says hedonism, according to Schwartz, 1992, hedonism is a person's prioritizing of pleasure as a goal. So that's their goal. That's their objective. A person's prioritizing of pleasure as a goal relative to other potentially important goals. So you might have other goals potentially important, but your flesh goal, your sexual goal is the most important. So you might have a goal to get to your home one day, get you a good job, and stay in good health. But your sexual pleasure is above all those other high priorities. It's the highest. That's your divine goal. Okay? It says, therefore, in theory, a person who values pleasure should feel as happy upon experiencing pleasure as the person who values power should feel upon gaining power. So they said, shoot, the person who desires, let's say, to get an education, you know, let's say if your goal is get your bachelor's degree in marketing. So that's your goal, and you pursuing that. If the person who's pursuing pleasure, he should value that and be happy about that as much as you valuing your educational goal, your academic goal, or your pursuit, your career goals. Because I'm pursuing pleasure, man. I'm pursuing pleasure, woman. That's my goal. That's the God I worship. Not me personally, but that's what they're saying pretty much. Hedonism. So why I brought up hedonism, we're going to be talking about Mardi Gras next week, because it's the same principle. Outside the covenant, Yahuwah's covenant, is sin. That's why I say don't follow the heathen. They practice sin. They practice debauchery and orgies and all this stuff. You know, I mean, we could tell you some things that you probably just want to turn off now. Before our people came on these shores, we didn't even have a concept of girlfriend, boyfriend type of thing. That's the heathen's way. That type of girlfriend, boyfriend, dating, all that is just another term of who you're sleeping with. Girlfriend, boyfriend. Jennifer is my girlfriend. That means that's the girl you're sleeping with. Jennifer says Roger, her boyfriend. That means that's the boy that she's sleeping with.
Time, the people, they live together before they even consider getting married to you, most of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's how bad things have gotten. If you don't live with them, you can't marry them.
That's right. That's the norm. That's not the exception no more. Yeah, I mean, I've heard people say you got to try out the goods first. Everybody says, well, you got to sin first before you marry me. You know, oh, man, it rabbit hole goes deep on this one. But that's what our culture was not like that. Our parents were involved in finding the right mates for their sons and daughters. And trust
that's
me,
true.
They did a lot. You talk about research we do, they do a lot. They did a lot of research on not only the girl that or the boy that their child's looking to marry. They did research on the family and the parent, the mother, father, the grandpa. They want to know, is this family, if they're righteous? Does this family have a good report in the neighborhood, in the community? I mean, they did their research, and they sought the righteous, sought the Most High. Why do you think?
That's right.
Abraham sent his servant out. He had prayed, sent his servant out to find a wife for Isaac. And his servant was looking for certain cues. Okay, well, my master said, when I get here, if a woman draw water for me and ask, do she need to draw water for my animal? And that's the quality of woman that my master said to get for his son, Isaac. Sure enough, Rebecca came out and bowed to the servant, says, you know, do you need water? Yes, man was thirsty. And she said, also, do your animal need water? I could draw water for him. Uh-oh, some bells and whistles went off. He said, whoa, there we go. Parents were involved. First of all, the Most High was involved. The Bible says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Do you think that's the way people choosing now? People choosing, man, I want the most handsome guy. Guys, I want the woman with the dynamite shape, the best shape that keeps me excited about her physically. Want somebody look good? I mean, this goes on and on. So this hedonism is just giving your way to the flesh, giving your all to the flesh for sexual, for fleshly pleasure and satisfaction is a form of worship, none other than worship. And you're not worshiping the Most High. So this Mardi Gras, I'm excited about what we're going to discover and what we could share with our listeners about this Mardi Gras thing. Because, you know, I heard about Mardi Gras, never went. And, I mean, tell you the truth, I used to want to go when I was younger. What kept me probably from going is, first of all, I didn't know much about it. And then I didn't have the money because I lived a long way from it. But knowing what I know now, that it's just a satanic ritual, rite, to demons, sexual demons, to that principality, you know, our people should have nothing to do with that. But I'm sure our people will be there. I mean, I'm sure some of them are going to be leading the charge. Because we, you know, the Bible says we went whoring after almost every god. God of sex. Look no further. We'll wind it down. But look no further than
that's right.
When Moshe went up on the mountain, communing with the Most High, when he was coming back down, they heard the voices of singing and partying. Don't that sound like our people? Heard the voices of singing and partying.
That's it.
And he
that
got close enough to look. Yeah, he got close enough to look, and oh my goodness. Not only did his weak brother, I'm calling Aaron out. I mean, you know, Most High might like Aaron. I didn't like Aaron. But their weak brother, not only did he make a idol calf for them to worship, them fools that were down there partying had all their clothes off, pleasuring one another. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They were doing their thing. They were doing their thing.
Ain't nothing changed, Elvis. Nothing changed. Nothing. The same old thing that went on then is going on again now.
Yep, and that was probably the first Mardi Gras back there, Mount Sinai. That was a change.
Go.
That's filthy. And Bible says nothing new under the sun. So, and Moshe got so mad, I believe he threw and cracked those stones. Woo! Yeah, and Most High got a lot of them straight right there.
Mm-hmm.
He had
to
lot of their
up the ground on them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Put them in the ground.
He had to whip a lot of their butts right there and spanked them while they were still naked. Because Moshe, he said Aaron had made them, had them take off all their clothes to their shame. Aaron said, since y'all going to act like this, might as well take off all your clothes. You know, I know what's really on y'all heart. Y'all got to read those. Read the history. People, you know, some people didn't even know they were down there orgying and everything. They had acted a fool. Look at the other god they erected. They had turned their back on the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing new.
It was a very small portion of the people that stood and got out of the way of all that that the other people were doing, all that partying they were doing. They said, we can't do that. We're not going to do that.
Right.
Get on over here. And that's why always some of us that's going to make it, and that's just if it's just a handful, just like it was in the time of Noah, he said, so it shall be at the time of the end. So it's just going to be a handful of us. And so don't be surprised that the people you thought were going, that's not
there
for you to think about. It's for you to think about yourself. Think about yourself. Hold on to Yah. Hold on to his unchanging hand, because others will have you going straight with them, straight to hell with them. Okay, that hellfire is waiting on you if you keep listening to others instead of reading the scriptures for yourself. When somebody tells you to do these hell out days, say, let me see if I can. Is that in the scripture? If it's not in the scripture, you're not to do it. Don't do it.
That's right. And look at the principle. The same principle that Yahuwah put in his word about when Yahusha says, broad is the way, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein. And then he said, straight and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be. So that principle, just like you said, it applied back then, because you said it was just a few that got out of the way and say, no, I ain't having no part in this. I know they about to get their butts whooped, you know. But the majority of them, they partying to the beat. We love the beat. Oh, man, somebody's probably playing the drums or something, and they were just going to town.
Mm-hmm.
Naked, looking
they
like a fool to their shame.
They had the drums. They had the cymbals. They had it. And they were partying.
They were
like partying. 1999 was thought of.
Yep. So it was 1999 BC. Back then.
There you go. BC.
Hallelujah.
Style.
So
well, Elder, it's time to close the program up, and we're gonna go ahead and play the closing song and get everybody ready for the next.
Close it. Yeah, before you close it, Ema, I would just like to personally apologize to our listeners for some of them that might have read the header, the title, or a separation, how Yahuwah's true people will be manifested. Oh, that was going to be a good one. And we're not going to leave it there. It's not only was going to be a good one, it is going to be a good one. But we have to let the Ruach HaKodesh have his way, and that's just what we did tonight. Hopefully you were blessed and edified about the icing of the cake we put on the message to the black man. But if you was willing, we will. The week after next, because next week we're going to do about this demonic worship, this Mardi Gras. But the week after that, y'all willing, we're going to get back into time for separation. It's going to cover some good things. Y'all's people walking around sick. Y'all, people dying from illnesses and disease, that's just a little bit of it. You probably think that's natural. Yeah, it's been going on so long. No, it's not natural. No, it's time for a difference. It's time for a change. I'll give you one hint. Read how our forefather, Jacob, read how he passed away. I'll give you some homework, give you a little homework. Read Genesis, Oh, please let me find it. Read Genesis chapter 49. Yeah, read Genesis chapter 49 all the way to the end. And you're going to see how Jacob blessed his children when he was about to, when he was about to transition on, how he blessed his son. He already let them know he's about to go. He wasn't sick. It's a lie from hell that you got to die with something, like they say. Ooh, I ain't told you that. Yes, yes. If you keep living, you're going to die. You know, if you tarries, it's returned. Yes, we all going to get old enough to pass away. But you do not have to die with the diseases of Egypt, the diseases of this world, this Babylonian world. You could simply, you walk with the Father, you could simply know your time. Why? Because you in touch with the Father. You're in tune with the Father. You communicate with the Father. You know your time. When your work is done, when your work is accomplished, your Father will not keep you in the dark. He will let you know. You do not have to have no cancer, no heart disease, no diabetes, and certainly no COVID-19. And he'll let you know your time, and you can simply call your people around, bless them, put your legs on your bed, lay back, put your legs on your bed, and go to sleep. No, this is not a fairy tale. We're going to get into this. It's enough of this foolishness. Our people believe in all this foolishness because there's years and centuries of lies, years of breaking your Ur's covenant. No, we're going to get back to basics. We're going to get back to the truth. We're going to return to the covenant. We're going to learn how to live right, and we're going to learn how to die right. Yes, there is a right way to die, just like there's a right way to live. The Bible says there's a time for all things, a time to be born, a time to die. But he said he won't put none of these diseases upon you. No, you don't have to have a disease to die. Moshe didn't have a disease. Yah told him it's time. He looked at the promised land. No, you're not going over. You're about to come home with me. But I'm not going to give you cancer. I'm not going to give you tuberculosis. I'm not going to give you nothing. You're going to come home and you're going to sleep. We're going to get into it more. I just wanted to give them a little foretaste. Read Genesis 49, chapter 49, and read Genesis 50. You want a foretaste of where we're going. And we're just not going to talk about sicknesses. We're going to talk about returning to our full rights and benefits of the covenant. The covenant that we talked about tonight, we're going to talk about our full rights and benefits. Oh, you're not going to want to miss this. Enough of this foolishness. Enough of it. People dying with all this and dying with all that. Enough of it already. Well, you know why? Because you look just like the world. There's no difference than us and the world. Where's the testimony? Oh, he was a good man. He's a good man. He, you know, cancer just took him. Tuberculosis. Just, no. Wouldn't it be a better testimony if the brother and sister knew their time, bless the people, bless his family and loved ones, say, okay, I'm about to come home. Y'all let me take a nap. I might see y'all in glory, but you who make it. No, we've been duped, hoodwinked, and bamboozled. We bought into false doctrine. Please stay with us the next couple of weeks. We're going to get into it's time for a separation. And that's how you're going to start seeing the manifestation. Subtitle is How Yahuwah's True People Will Be Manifested. That's how you're going to start seeing the manifestation. It's going to be a difference. Not going to see us in these hospitals and stuff. I think I've said enough. Do your homework, family, and we'll see you next week. And shalom. Go ahead, Imam.
All right. Thank you, Elba, for all of that information you gave the people tonight. And we're going to go ahead and play the closing song.
You're not getting any younger. Feel like life is full of you wonder. You said things to your mother you regret today. Can't get it off your mind. Sometimes you just break down crying. Don't care where, when, or why. You just just feel that the weather. Life is getting colder and colder. Feel like the world's on your shoulder. You don't know where you're gonna rest your head today. Making it big, didn't go quite as planned. Built my house with sinking sand, and it all was washed away. Where do I go from here? Understanding is not quite clear. I just need to hear a word of hope today.
Can't search this whole wide world.
All right, Toda. Right. God has given us music to listen to. Hallelujah. He gave it for us to enjoy him in the music.
Hallelujah.
So that's it for tonight,
shalom,
family.
Shalom.
All right, family. Shalom. See you next week.
Good night, family.